praise to the mighty risen King. Man, I love those words. It's a neat opportunity to give praise to God. You know, even if you don't feel like it, it's a neat thing to give him praise because he is worthy of praise. And I love that there was another song that said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God." I'm always encouraged when I say those parts. I'm actually saying it with the angels because there's in the word it talks about, you know, you're singing it in one choir. So it doesn't matter what time you're saying it, the choir keeps saying, you know, I think it's the angels that say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God, worthy to be praised." And, you know, it just reminds you who we have, a mighty God who loves us and a God that's worthy of praise. And you're encouraged that you're not alone when you're singing that. You're joining with the angels, you're joining with the hosts in heaven, you're joining with, you know, because we're at different times in the world. So, you know, it doesn't matter what time you're doing it, you're joining with them. So need to know, one voice out, "Holy, holy, hallelujah, our God is worthy to be praised." Amen? Yeah. It was a bit of a shock to see that I've got Mike and Allison here. Oh, no! Welcome. I love you, Mike and Allie. You've been in my life, and you've been when I've cried and I've laughed, and you've been there all through my life. We've known each other for over 30 years, pretty long time, right? And such a beautiful man and woman of God that has really impacted my life. And I so encourage you, family. Getting connected to family is really important because they're the ones that help you push through. And, you know, when you're feeling tired, they'll carry you, they'll pray with you, they'll keep you going, they'll encourage you. Iron sharpens iron. We need each other. So we so need the body. And I just love my family. I love my family of God, and I just love them. I cannot say enough to you all. I so appreciate you, family. Oh, Taco, I love you. All right, so I wanna. I'm just gonna talk in John 11, and I wanna bring out some things that I got a kind of what was a revelation for me, and I just want to bring out a little bit of things here and there. So it's going on from John 11, chapter 11, verse 1, and we're going to go through that. Father, I thank you for your word. That's your word's alive and living and powerful. It has the ability to transform lives. And Lord, we're open to you, Holy Spirit, your anointing. Thank you for your angels touching lives, your word going out, impacting lives, transforming us. Open up our ear gates, our eye gates to hear, see you, Holy Spirit. You're welcome to have your way this morning, ministering into every heart. Lord, go deep. We give you room to have your way, and we just love you. We join together and say, "You are beautiful," in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so if you're wondering why I've got my glasses on, it's not because I want to look cool. It's just I lost my glasses, and I've got these ones. They're the same, but I can wear them without it anyway. Okay, the death of Lazarus. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary, and his sister Martha. This is the same, this Mary whose brother Lazarus was now lay sick and was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." And when he heard this, Jesus said, "This sick will not end in death. No, it is not for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago, the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you're going back?" Like, I'm going to just paraphrase that part. There's a warrant of arrest out for Jesus, aka head. And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they will see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. In other words, a traveler journeyed on until night. It was proper for him to travel the 12th hour. For Jesus, it was a proper time for him to work. The night of death was coming, and no work could be done then. So after he said this, he went to tell him, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. Then Thomas said to the rest of the disciples, let us go, that we may die with him. On this arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God, you will give whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who has come into the world. After that, she said this. She went back, called her sister Mary aside. The teacher is here, she said, and asked for you. He's asking for you. When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to him. Now, Jesus had not entered the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who had been with Mary in the house comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out and followed her, supposing she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews had come along also with her weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. I just want to think Jesus' initial response to the death of his friend Lazarus and the pain and grief. It caused Lazarus' sisters and even some of the crowd. The Greek word for he was moved, deeply moved, is embrimaoma, which means he expressed anger by a snort to make a harsh sound with the notion of springing out strong displeasure, disapproval at something considered unjust, offensive, insulting, indignation, a righteous anger towards death. And troubled? Jesus was troubled. Its Greek word is taraso, meaning disturbed or agitated, restless. He was deeply angered. It welled up within him. It greatly agitated his spirit. That was his reaction to death, which in most of us, we would say, when we hear a loss, we would normally say, aroha mai, our condolences. But Jesus' initial response was something come out of him. Where have you laid him, he asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. And Jesus wept. Now this verse is yet the shortest Jesus wept. I'm sure we can remember that part. Yet powerful from being deeply moved and troubled and weeping. A beautiful response to their grief and heartache. We all have experienced the weeping with others and sharing their loss. But how much more does he show to those that are still in grief? Grief and its heartache comes in many forms. Loss of family, loss of relationships, loss of divorce, loss of income, loss of innocence, loss of home, loss of security, loss of reputation, loss of health and grief, health and strength. Now this list goes on. The loss of identity. And I've not mentioned it. Jesus, all those very things and the ones I've not said, he sees that. He sees all that. And then the Jews said, how he loved him. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? You know, it's easy to think and say that these people said to for themselves, Lord, I haven't. Why haven't I got the breakthrough? It's easy to say that. I know you heal, but why am I still struggling? Jesus, once more, deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with the stone laid across the entrance. And this is his response. Not only does Jesus weep with us in our grief, he sees and reacts to the offense of death. Embriama umai. Expressed again, anger by snort to make a harsh sound and notion of springing out strong displeasure, a righteous anger towards death. Then Jesus says, take away the stone. He said, but Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there's going to be a bad odor. And another Bible says, a stench, for he has been there for 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. You know, the stone represents in our life, remove the barriers of loss and grief. Remove the barrier of unbelief. Remove the barrier of anger and hatred. Remove the barrier of forgiveness. Remove the barrier of hurt and pain. All these leave a stench. It follows you wherever you go. Its plan is only to destroy your life. Example, the stench to unforgiveness is bitterness. The stench to hurt and pain is addiction. Been there, done that. It almost destroyed my marriage and my life. My husband, you know, he didn't know how to help his damaged wife. So the stench of anger and hatred, this, you know, that violence, that was the stench of being angry and really angry. Was violence was my stench. My children had suffered my rage. And the loss of grief has many forms, like I said. And death will try to live a stench of sadness and depression to where you feel you can't move on or accomplish any task. That's what it does. Jesus looked up, said, Father, I thank you, you've heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe you sent me. We see the way Jesus says, Father, expresses the closeness he had with God. This is an intimacy that we too can have with him. Holy Spirit, he works in our lives to help us to know God and to pray intimately. And yeah, you know, just the way I love the way it says he looked up. You know, that's the response for us. Look up. Look up at him. And like I said, that song, Holy, 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 it's, you know, even when you're in the morning, you know, and when you feel like your day is not going well, look up, lift up your head. Look up with his life. Look up to him. There's something about that when you worship. There's something that God does when he shifts and shifts the way we change and the attitude and the things, the negativity. We shift those things when we look up to him. And when he said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. There's three statements in this chapter regarding this man, Lazarus. In verse 1, a man named Lazarus was sick. In verse 14, Jesus says Lazarus is dead. And here in verse 43, Jesus says, Lazarus, come out. So the word Lazarus is probably a Hebrew origin word, Eliezer. Lazarus means God has helped, and in the Greek it means God is my help. So where am I going with this? To those that hear this morning, it is as if in calling Lazarus out, God wants to help you. Jesus calls each and one of us out of death into new life. Come out. Come out from the tomb of feeling sick and tired. Come out from that place feeling dead. Come out of the place feeling hurt. Come out of that place of loss and grief. Emerge from the darkness of your insecurities. Emerge from out of there. Come out of there. Come out into the light of God's grace and breathe again the air of life where there is no fear of death. You see, the dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. So the dead man came out walking. Dead people do not walk until Jesus has spoken new life into them. You know, it says in Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrows. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The word of God coming alive, Jesus, the living word, walking in this man's life, and the breath of God giving life. 6 years ago, I was asleep, and my husband wakes me up and goes, babe, I think I'm having a heart attack. And I'm staring at him because he was having a shave at this time. I'm thinking, bro, you look fine to me. And he said, oh, you know, I've just rung the ambulance. And I thought, oh, mate, you're going to look like, and I don't know what I thought. I just stared at him, thought, grinned. So I got up, had a cup of coffee. Of course, the ambulance turned up at our house, and a couple of response ladies turned up. And, of course, they pinned him up to this machine. And, you know, for your heart, taking your heart and stuff like that. And then I said to him, sir, are you experiencing any pain? And he said, nah, I'm not experiencing anything. And she goes, again, are you experiencing any pain? He said, no, I'm not. Of course, the third time he asked again, sir, are you experiencing any pain? Of course, my husband said, no, I'm not. So she said, look, I'm going to have to go to I'm just going to have to ring my supervisor because, you know, the reading was saying another story and he was saying he couldn't feel anything. So as she was in there, Siddy and I were in the lounge with the other response lady chatting away. And then next minute, my husband's eyes just rolled back. And then he started to go into convulsion. And the other lady was yelling out to her mate in the ambulance saying, help, help. Of course, she was ringing the fire brigade. And of course, she asked me, can you help? Help me get him off the sofa because, you know, he was going all stiff and froth coming out. So I helped her lift my husband up, put him on the floor, and of course the machine was connected to him going all sorts. And next minute, all I saw right in front of my eyes was my husband just his eyes just shut, skin that was alive, living, dead, like looking at a dead body, the color of death on him, the look of death, everything was dead. Machine was going off, beep, beep, please move away from the body, please move away. Of course, this lady straight away started going into cardiac arrest, you know, doing the compressions on my husband. And of course, the machine again saying, move away from the body. So she grabbed whatever you call those things and boom, thinged his heart. And of course, straight into compression, heart out again, and all I could do while my husband was dead. Incredibly, I felt this peace, and even though I could see my husband dead, I sensed the peace, and all I could quiet was, Father, your mercy and grace I was aware he had not given his heart to Jesus. And it was like, oh, Lord, mercy and grace. And of course, the machine again said, please move away from the body. And she grabbed again those things, and on his heart, boom, fired it up and straight back into compression. And all I could think was, hey, hang on, I know what, because, you know, I could see she was hard out doing the compression on his body. And I thought, maybe I could help. So I said to her, can I help you? And of course, at that same time, my daughter that was there, I said to go and get her sister, who was a woman of faith. Go and get her. And she said, oh, it's all right. You know, she just carried on. What you're doing is fine. And then it kicked into me. It made me realize, my husband's dead. And what she's doing, compression's not working. She's fired up his heart twice. And I don't know if that's the word I'm using. Did that twice and still it didn't work. And I realized, hang on, prayer. Prayer works. And so, of course, I went into tongues, you know, kuraka shakara, really loud. And I'm guessing this lady's staring at me thinking, what a weirdo, because I was loud. And just hands on my husband, and I just said, spirit of death, out. And as soon as I said out, he just went, sat up, grabbed me, he kissed me, grabbed my daughter, and kissed her. And of course, straight away, the lady that was giving it, freaking out, because she was like, just so freaked out, he just instant sat up. And she was just, lie down, you know, and of course just didn't know what to do, just said, lie down, sir, please lie down. So anyway, you know, we quickly had to go to Kaka because it was too rough, flew from Kaka to Whangarei to Auckland, and of course we were there Saturday and Tuesday, they had to let us go because there was nothing wrong with them, absolutely nothing wrong with them. While we were in Auckland, one of the kids goes, Dad, did you go into the light? Did you see anything? And he said, but I saw nothing. But he said, but what happened was 2 o'clock I woke up, I walked outside, and he said, all I knew was, am I going to die? And he just had that, am I going to die? And all he got was one word, heart attack. So, of course, he went on Dr. Google, what are the symptoms of a heart attack? There was only one thing that came out, and it was the bar when you burp. So that's why he rang the ambulance on himself. But he said that when he did wake up, he was like water film on his eyes, and he thought, you know, what is that? Why is there water on my eyes? Why is my daughter here? Because at that time she wasn't there. Why is my sister in my house? Because, of course, he had no idea, his sister, you know, because she wasn't there. Why am I on the ground? And why does my chest hurt? So he had no idea that he was dead for 2 minutes. Mighty God, what? That's Jesus defeating death. So Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let them go. The Living Bible says, unwrap him and let them go. You know, the word unwrap means to remove. So what they did to their dead was they, in that time, so they would wrap them up kind of in linen clothes like a dummy. So how can this verse relate to us? Well, we want to unwrap those signs of death and defeat, which constricts you and prevents you from living the fullness of life in him. Unwrap pride, thinking you can manage things on your own. There's no reason to go to God. Unwrap adultery, thinking something else will satisfy more. Yeah, unwrap those things. Those are the things we're wanting to do in our lives, right? As unwrap those things, living life in him. you know, living life, unwrapping, coming out. I like in John 11:25, I want to go back there where Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Jesus asks Martha face to face, kanoi ki te kanoi, looking her straight in the eyes, proclaiming who he is, and then allowing her an opportunity, the living God giving an invitation, will you believe? The same things here today, same God, same word, still alive today in our lives. Will you believe? Will you come out? Will you come out? You know, I want to give you an opportunity. The invitation is here, what Jesus has done. You know, he says, I love it in John 3:5, it says, Jesus says, very, verily, verily, I say to thee, unto thee, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and which is born of the spirit is spirit. And I never thought that there was an issue with my life. I wasn't perfect. And I knew it wasn't, I was pretty messed up. But I thought you just had to tolerate that life. But I didn't understand that there was the natural me. And then there was the spiritual, the resurrection, new birth, new life. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize I was a sinner. I didn't know that, you know, but we had this incredible man, big man, used to come to my house and share about Jesus. And every time he came, we'd take off, do the runner. Oh, no, he's here. Just full of love, full of Jesus, loved my dad. And he would just keep coming back and keep coming back. And it was almost like, you know, the Lord just doing a karanga. Come on, daughter, come on. The breaking down of walls and the hearts and thinking I'm all right when I wasn't. It wasn't good to hold on to the stuff that I was holding on, the anger and the rage. It wasn't good to hold on to those things. I thought they were my friends. It wasn't good to get caught up in the, you know, because of the pain and the hurt, the drinking. My attitude was drink, don't think, but it was to escape pain. It wasn't good to live in that. And this man of God who I loved very much, he would carry on, come in and keep on sharing of Jesus. And I knew he had substance because his life was mine. We come out of the gang, you know, it's my brother seen the violence and all this stuff. And I knew his life was totally different. He was free. And I was hungry for that. I was desperate. I was sick of my life, sick of living the way I didn't want to live then. I didn't want my kids to go down that same path. I knew I had to do something. And I knew it could only come from him, and there was a new birth. I needed that. I wanted that new birth. I wanted that new life. I wanted that in him. I wanted that, you know, him resurrecting my life, that exchange of what Jesus did on the cross. So incredible, the pain. The pain he, you know, when you think about the ones that did the scourging on him, they were huge guys. I'm guessing they were these solid guys. And the way they would give the whips to Jesus, the whip would have had glass and metal and all sorts, you can correct me, Mike, and rip out. As soon as the whip goes in, it's not just a leather, it would rip out a piece of skin. Rip it out. Pain. Their role is to give maximum pain but not kill them. On the scourging. Many of us have suffered pain. We know what pain's like. And if your life hasn't been good, you want to die. And that's what Jesus did. But the beautiful thing is, he did that, the humiliation. We would have suffered humiliation. We're thinking nobody will understand. Jesus was naked when he got beaten up. And not only that, is they would whack anywhere on his body. Imagine standing there, your whole body exposed, naked, humiliated. We can, when you know, if you've ever been humiliated, that's what he suffered for you, that humiliation. The ripping out of this pain, the feeling so exposed. He was so exposed. You've ever felt that? He went through that for you, that suffering. But the neat thing I love about it, it's the exchange for your pain. Take my healing. Take it. You know, that's the exchange on the cross for trauma. Let me take that. For the things you've suffered, let me take that. I did that for you. Every whip I got was so that you didn't have to get that. Everything I did was for you. It was you he had in mind. It was you that he was thinking about when he went through that. For everything you suffered, for every anger, for everything you went through, he knows, he gets that. The being, you know, accused, the pointing of the finger, the being smacked in the face, everything, he did that. There's a beautiful exchange that you can have with him. That new life with him, the life, the exchange he wants to give freely. It says in Romans 8:14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God. I'll go back here. In Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. We're not with excuse. We've all been there. But that's the beauty about it, is coming back to him. That's the beautiful thing, is we've all mucked up. And possibly we'll still, but praise God for his word. We can run into him. You know, run into him. So I want to give you an opportunity this morning. I know that it's been pretty short. But, you know, I just want to, if there's things in your life that you felt, you know, you can't get out, there's a call from Jesus saying, come out from there. If you want to get out of there, there's a call. He loves you so much. The incredible price he paid for you so was so that you didn't have to suffer. There's a call for him to come out of that. Come out, emerge out of that darkness. Come out of that and live life. Allow the word, allow Jesus. You know, he's alive. He's there. So if you want prayer, we've got a beautiful team. Alistair and Sharon, can I get you guys to do worship? Monty, I'll get you to stay and pray. If anybody would love some prayer. I want to give an invitation to those that have not given their hearts to Jesus and would love to pray with you. Is anyone here that's not given their hearts? Give you an opportunity to, come to the Lord and come out. Come out from thinking we're okay. That new life. I didn't know I had new life. I didn't realize. I thought this was it. This was my life in the flesh. But in the spirit, there's such incredible things we do in him. It says, you know, for those who are led, in Romans 8:14, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves, so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought you out, brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. If we are his children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. So, if you want some prayer, I've got a beautiful team here that would love to pray for you. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, I'd really love to do a prayer. Before we go on first, and if this is your first time, we'd love to Yeah, love to get the team to wrap around you and be there with you and help you. Thank you, Lord. Okay, we're just going to say this together. Dear Lord Jesus, oh, you can stand up. Thank you. Aroha mai. Stand up, please, family.
Dear Lord Jesus,
I know that I am a sinner.
And I ask for your forgiveness.
I believe you died for my sins,
and rose from the dead.
I turn from my sins
and invite you to come into my heart and life.
In Jesus' name, amen.